In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, but grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Amen. So I'm glad I have grace because of what Christ Jesus did for me. His gift is my measure. His gift is my measure. I get grace based on His giving, not anybody else's giving, like I was saying for the offering. We get blessed in many ways from many different people, but I count it as a blessing from the Lord because Christ gives in a way that nobody else can give. There's nobody that can match the way He gives gifts and the way that He blesses. He does things in amazing ways. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men. So I'm not just free. I've been given gifts. I've been given a gift. You've been given a gift. You've been given a gift. You've been given a gift. Look at everyone. Look at everyone right there. And I want you to make this confession. God, Jesus Christ, has given you gifts. Turn to them and tell them that. Let's say it in faith. Come on, believe God. I tell you. Tell them. Christ Jesus has given you gifts. Amen. Christ's gifts. He's given you gifts. You're a gifted person. You're a gifted person. We're not just talking natural talents. We're not talking natural talents. Amen. You know it's faith when a frog sings like a bird. If a bird sings like a bird, there's no faith in that. But when a frog sings like a bird, now you know. Right? Amen. What are the gifts? What gifts do you think? This is what got me thinking on this passage. What gifts do you think Christ Jesus wants to and has given you? I'm going to suggest one thing to start with, and we're going to start with Psalm. We're going to use Psalm 47 as our scripture to pull out truth about gifts, and I'm going to call them praise gifts. The first gift, I believe, the first gifts God gives you, and there's many more than those, but the first gifts God gives you is praise gifts. Praise gifts. That means the gift of being able to praise the Lord. The gift of being able to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a confession of worship, of praise. Jesus Christ, you're my Lord. So, praise gifts, and that's the title of our message today. The first thing that, the first part of your body that God sets free is your tongue. I want to tell you again. The first part of your body that God sets free is your tongue. He loosens your tongue. Before you knew Jesus Christ as Lord, your tongue could not confess Him as Lord. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And I've seen people, you try to lead them to that, and they're like, because they haven't got the gift in their heart. What happens when faith comes in your heart? What does Paul say in Romans chapter 10? If you believe in your heart, then what? What happens next after you believe in your heart? What's the next thing to happen after faith comes? You say it. Your tongue is loosed. Your tongue is loosed. The very first gift you get is the ability to speak. Thank you, Jesus. To be able to speak and not blabber.
My life.
Come on. There's a difference between praise and grouchiness. There's a difference between praise and negativity. There's a difference between praise and just trying to tell it like it is, because it ain't is like you say it is. My is ain't the same as your is, because Jesus Christ is Lord. Now faith is. So I don't want your is. I want his is. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. Faith is. I want the is of Jesus. That's what he gives me in my heart. When I get the is, then my mouth can loosen up and I can tell it like it is. Praise God. Come on now. Y'all acting too quiet today. I hope you got to Psalm 47, because it's going to press your accelerator button. So the first gift you get is the ability to talk and the ability to loose your tongue, because it's been bound up by the devil until you get to know Jesus. Amen. All right. Amen, Walls. That's what Barry Hussey taught me. Okay, so I'm going to give you five praise gifts and two things. So five things that praise gifts are, and two things that praise gifts do. Five things that they are and two things that they do. And so the first thing I'm going to tell you out of Psalm 47, I hope you're there in Psalm 47, praise gifts are active and not passive. Let's say it again. Praise is are active and they're not passive. If my wife is beautiful and I have to say it, and if you don't say it, guess what? She won't know it, and you won't act like you know it. So the whole point is this. If you think she's beautiful, guys, let her know that you know. How is she going to know if you know if you don't say it? If you don't say it. And what does it say? It's an active. Look at the activity of Psalm 47. You begin your praise with an active, not a passive act. And opening up your mouth is active. If you believe in Jesus, you're not just sitting there. First thing you got to do is open your mouth and use your hands. Come on now, open your mouth and use your hands. Now it says, clap your hands, all ye people. Clap. Now I'm going to just, I should have put my lapel in here. But I want you to see something. I want you to see God gave us two hands. He gave us two. You can't clap with one hand, right? You ever figure that out? Nope, can't do it. You got to have two. And you've got the way your knuckles of your, look at the way your knuckles are. You can't clap them like this because that won't make any decent sound, right? But when you get your fingers and you put them in a little cup of your palm, look how much sound that makes. See that? You can clap. You make a lot of noise with your hands. Praise, the gift of praise is an active praise. When you clap your hands, you're not really using words, obviously. You're making a sound. But that sound is just as important as anything you can do for God. Make a sound. Make a sound. Make a loud sound. It is not a passive sound. It is not a wimpy sound. It is not an indecisive sound. It is a sound that is a gift from Jesus Christ. I want you to know, when Jesus took the prisoners out of hell, they did not stand there and give golf claps. They were clapping and shouting, and they were, that loud songs of joy means to scream. It's a scream. It's a yell. It is not a just praise God. It isn't praise God. I'm sorry. They weren't able to stick their microphone close and go, praise God. Doesn't work. Only in America can you do that. Get it really close. Praise God. Turn the volume up. That's okay. That's okay if you're the Wizard of Oz. All right? But we have to use what God gave us. And God gave us the ability to raise our volume to the point of praise. Now that'll preach right there. That could be a whole nother message. Saints, raise your volume to the point of praise. Get that volume up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up. You've been set free. That's the greatest gift you can give, is the ability to raise your voice and say, Jesus. Because I got news for you. The devil wants you quiet. The devil doesn't want you to speak up. The devil wants you mumbling. The devil wants you griping. You know the word murmuring. What is murmuring? Not good. Murmuring is quiet and soft and ugly. Praise is clapping, joyful, shouting, yeah! Amen. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. There's power in being active for God. Two things that will freeze you up. Fear will freeze somebody. I've literally, and you've seen the fainting goats. We were at the place Infinity Acres yesterday. They got them fainting goats there. And, you know, if they get startled, they get afraid, what do? Yeah, that's what they do. That's their defense. Now, I guess they're hoping that the enemy thinks they're dead and don't do anything. Maybe. I don't know why they do it. But fear will paralyze you. Don't be paralyzed with fear. Don't be stuck because you don't know what to do and think, oh, my life is so bad. No, God has given you the gift to get on your horse and go for a ride for God. Don't be paralyzed. Fear will freeze you. Now, another thing will freeze you is a misunderstanding. And I call that paralysis analysis. When you don't seem to get it right, and there's a misunderstanding, and then what do? And there's a paralysis of freezing that comes personally because you don't really get what's going on. And so you think, well, maybe the best thing to do is nothing. No. Lift up your voice and shout unto God. Give him the praise until you understand what God is doing. That's what I want to talk about, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Part of seeing there, and it means understanding. Sometimes we don't always get what God is doing. We don't see what God is doing. It's seeing in the terms of using that word to understand. So you have to shout, and you have to praise, and you have to roar. Come on, roar like a lion of Judah. Not a little wimpy little kitty cat. Meow. Sorry, I do like cats. Big cats, though, sound a whole lot different than little kitty cats. God has given us the Lion of Judah. He didn't say the kitten of Judah. That really strikes fear in the heart of the enemy. Sorry, Heidi. I didn't mean it like that. Okay. She's laughing. Okay. So, relationally, misunderstandings will freeze things. Misunderstanding will freeze relationships. If two are not agreed, how can they work together? So you have this misunderstanding, and that will freeze God's people from working because they're not on the same page. And so the Lord wants to teach us not to be frozen by fear and frozen by misunderstandings. Now, I want to talk about Samson. Samson was very active either, right? They had this bunch of people ruling over them. The Philistines were harassing Israel, right? And power comes from Samson, because he was willing to praise God. I believe he was. We don't necessarily see that in his story per se, but I want to talk about what glory is. See, glory, the thing about Samson is all about hair. And the Bible teaches that the hair that God has given you is glory, is your glory. The hair is your glory. Now, Samson was not a bodybuilder. He was a hairstylist. When you looked at Samson, Did you see muscles rippling on him? I don't believe you did. Why? Because it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he got strong. So that means he was not a gym enthusiast. He didn't work out in a gym like that. He didn't look like somebody who could whoop you. He only became that way because he took care of his hair. And the hair represents your glory. And the hair is on your head. And the head is where your mind is. And God wants your mind to be covered in glory. He wants your mind to be covered in the thoughts of God. He wants the hair of your head to be covered with the words of the Lord. He wants your understanding to be covered with the glory of God. And, you know, the devil tries to take your hair, but God wants you to have lots of it. Now, you can color it, do whatever you want to it, but it is a beautiful thing. Hair is a beautiful thing. Amen? So Samson, you have to think of Samson not as a bodybuilder, but a hair stylist. Why? Because fear will freeze you. Misunderstandings will paralyze your relationships and you'll lose your glory. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. So when you hear the word glory and head come together, I want you to always remember this from Pastor John. He's talking about your hairstyle when he talks about the glory of your head. He's talking about it. It's very strong in the scripture. Now, so that's the first thing about your praise gift. Your praise is active. All right, the second thing's not passive. Second thing, praise gifts are done in faith and not by sight. I already started talking about this. So I'm going to, you all know this, Mark 11:24. You don't have to turn there. Write it down, though. If you want to look at it again, see, it'll be up here. Therefore, Jesus said, I tell you, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Believe that you have it, then you'll see it. And he can almost say it like that. If you ask for it in prayer, believe that you have it and you will see it. That is faith. Faith, praise gifts are done in faith and not by sight. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You're making a great sound. You're making a great glory. And then you do thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving is God's way of receiving something in faith. How do you receive something in faith? When Jesus said, Mark 11:24, he said, believe that you receive it. Well, how do you express that you believe that you have it? By thanking God. Thanksgiving is God's way, God's gift to you and me, to express our faith that we have what we ask. It's thanksgiving. Because if I was to give you $20, you naturally have been taught to thank me for it. Why? Because I gave you something of value. When Christ distributes his gifts, they are so valuable to us that we say thank you before we even see it. That's exactly right. How many of you have done that? I know that I learned the habit of thanking people before I even get it from them. Isn't that the truth? If someone says to you, I'm going to send you a check to pay you for what you did for me, and what do you say to them? Thank you. You thank them before you even get it. You do that in natural life. We all do that in natural life. I'm going to give you this, or I'm going to give you that. And you say, well, thank you. Why? Because you take them at their word. You take somebody at their word, and therefore the thanksgiving is a form of faith, expression, a gift that the gift has already been given. Now, I want to just give you one more attitude about it, about our hands. Our hands were made for clapping, and our hands were also made for receiving. So, the word for thanksgiving literally means to lift up your hands. Thank you. The act of thanksgiving in Hebrew, remember, Hebrew words are identify body parts and actions, whereas Greek words are more thought realms. Okay? So the Hebrew words are extremely active, and the Hebrew word for thanksgiving means to extend your hand. It means extending your hand. So, Lord, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my hearts. Why? I'm already thanking you for what you've given me. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You've heard this word. Rejoice evermore. I love that. Rejoice evermore. I've heard it, rejoice in the Lord always. Then it says, pray without stopping, without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I call it the Trinity of Praise. I'm a Trinitarian. I believe in the Trinity of Praise. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three ways to praise God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Hey, I'll do it three ways. Why? Because I believe in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Glory to God. Amen? So, here we are. It tells me that there are some things that are things. And that we got to learn to give thanks for everything. Everything. Because some things we may not like, some things we do like. But what does God tell us to do? Shout unto God. Clap your hands and give thanks in everything, especially the things that we don't think are even hard. The hard things. And it says, I like this, rejoice evermore. So what does that mean? That means you rejoice all the time, but every time you do it more than you did it before. Doesn't more mean more? Am I right? So if you rejoice evermore, does that mean your volume going down or up? Does it mean if you're thankful, your thankfulness is going down or up? That means rejoicing means jump higher, praise louder, play better, be thankful more. That means increase. Why? Our God is a God of increase. He's a God of increase. His blessings want to grow. He can't help it. He wants life. When he sows a seed, what does that seed do? It produces more. More and more. Evermore. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. So that means, now, physically, it may be harder to do it that way. All right, that's okay. That's all right. It doesn't matter because it comes from the heart. But God says, and then it says, pray without stopping. Why? Because there are times when the devil wants you to stop praying when you need to keep praying. And I'm going to tell you the number one reason why people stop praying is because they fall asleep in the Bible. That seems to be what I saw. Peter fell asleep. Disciples fell asleep. They just fell asleep. And that's what, you know, the body just, like you start to pray, and next thing you know, you get really relaxed for some reason. Like, why am I so relaxed now that I just decide to pray? If I'm doing something else, playing games, watching TV, I'm not tired. But then the moment I start to pray, for some reason, my body wants to go to sleep. Do you ever notice that? I do. It happens to me all the time. Why? Why? Because it says pray without ceasing. You need the Holy Spirit to keep you awake. Keep you awake because God wants you to stay awake. Praise God. And in everything, give thanks. Now, third thing, praise gifts are gatekeepers. Your praise gifts are gatekeepers for the will of God in your life. They're gatekeepers. What are gates? It says, I will enter his gates and ring the doorbell. And I want to say the word ring the doorbell because what do you do when you enter a gate, when you go to a gate? If I go to B's house, I press the doorbell or I knock. I'd rather do a doorbell. Okay? Because sometimes when you hear a knock, you're like, uh-oh, something wrong. Like, why don't they press the doorbell? I like doorbells. They didn't have doorbells. Some doorbells are physical bells out there. You ring. I like that. Instead of hearing this, I don't know, something about that is like weird. It seems like, but you know, or even a little knock. You got to really listen. But I like ding dong. I like bells, you know? Yeah, well, we need doorbells. Why? Well, yeah. But they're gatekeepers. Why? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It's the doorbell to God's presence. Ring the doorbell, guys. Don't try to walk in without ringing the doorbell. I'm sure Bigger would just love it if I just came marching in her house without knocking. I'm sure she would tell me a thing or two in another language. Probably not tongues either. Right? It's not honoring and respectful. We want to love God and honor him. We want to announce our presence to him. Let him know. Now, another aspect of the gatekeeper, believe it or not, and there's another analogy I'm going to use. It's the garments of praise. And just write this down, but the wedding garment that you see described in Matthew chapter 22 is all about what gets you in. So a gate is something that allows you to either come in or not come in. And there are places God wants to get us in that we don't go because we don't ring the doorbell and we don't wear the wedding garment. We don't wear the right clothes. We got to be dressed the way God wants us to do. He says, what are you doing here without a wedding garment? I mean, he literally asked them in Matthew 22, 11 and 12, what are you doing here without the wedding? How did you get here? You're not dressed the way you need to be dressed for this occasion. We have an occasion every time we gather. Come on. We have an occasion every time we gather. It's called the bride. It's called the wedding of the supper of the Lamb and the bride. Come on. We're here to rejoice in the unity and the union of God's people, the bride and the bridegroom. So let's dress with our attitude right. So ring the doorbell and wear the right clothes when you praise God. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands. Scream unto God. And then we're going to come to the next one in just a second. All right. Destination and purpose. When you enter the gate, it's because you're going somewhere. You've got a reason to be there and you've got a purpose to be there. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, enter the narrow gate that leads to. Everybody say leads to. Gates will lead me somewhere. In one case, life. On the other hand, death. So go through the gate with praise and make sure you get the right gate, which is the praise gate. Now, praise gifts. Number four, they are weapons in our warfare. Acts chapter 16, 25. All right, Paul and Barnabas were beaten up. They preached. They were beaten up and they were thrown in jail. They were recovering from their wounds. And what did they do while recovering from their wounds in jail? The gift of God, the praise gift that Paul and Barnabas had was the gift of praise and praying and singing hymns to God. And people heard what they were doing in the prison cell. They were singing and worshiping. How about this example of singing and worship that you didn't see in the book of Acts until the very beginning? Here they were singing praises in the jail cell, the toughest situation they were in. And what did God do for them? He opened the prison gates. And notice that prayer and praise always go together, because how do you express faith that you have received it? By thanksgiving. I got it. My hands are open because I got it. You don't stick out your hand to grab something if it isn't there for you. So when you're thanking God, you're actually saying, thank you, I'm taking what you gave me. And you take it by faith. That's what Thanksgiving is. Huh. They sang while they were beat up. And there are times God will cause you to be beat and praise him anyway. And other people are going to hear it and they're going to go, wow. Wow. I mean, you guys carry glory. And I'm not trying to, I'm just giving you my testimony. But just in one day, I walked into two different places and people said exactly the same thing. Every time I see you, you have a smile on your face. You're happy. It changes the atmosphere here. I mean, he just started telling me it was in a building supply place. You've got something that changes the way people perceive life. It's a witness to them without you even saying a word. Just looking at them, saying, "Hey, good morning." You know, praises are like our weapons because they release us from jail. And isn't getting out of the jail cell the same thing as what Jesus did when he harrowed hell? Except the jailer got saved. The captor, whatever you call it, the guy that was in charge, became a captive to Jesus. Isn't that what God's doing? He's taking the jailers and making them praisers. All right, so now we're going to talk about glory. And Psalm 47, you know, it says, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You know, and you've got that right there. So I'm going to go to my Psalm 47 again. And I just want you to see this. They're the different words for praise. Shout unto God with loud songs of joy. That's that rina. So you've got this word clap. You've got this word shout. Then you've got this word rina. Rina. And so you've got these words for praise. And there's these words for praise. It says, where is it? Oh, yeah, verse 5. Verse 4. Let's do verse 4. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. And I think King James says with your understanding. So I wanted to look at verse 4 for a second. I want you to see this word Selah. I want you to see this word Selah. It says here, he chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. Selah is kind of like a mystery word in Hebrew in the Psalms. You only find it in the Psalms. And people over the years have tried to figure out or tried to express what they think that word means. And someone recently suggested this, and I think it's got a lot to be said for it. That Selah is like a transitional encounter or a place where you meet and you transition into a mighty truth of the Word of God. See, when we praise God and we first enter in and we clap, right? Clapping is just a sound. Shouting is just a sound. The rinas, the tehillas, the teruas, all these sounds that we use, these are Hebrew words, palal, pray, and tepila, whatever it is. And it's not tequila, guys. It's just tehila, tefila, tepila, and terua. These are all words for shout, pray, and praise. They're intense words because they start off with the word T. That's an explosive sound. And it's like a higher level of what you do. So many times people use the word halal, or they use the word halal as praise and tehila as high praise because you put that T, that explosive T sound in front of it. It takes it up to another level. Let the high praises of God That's the word tehillah. Be in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. In other words, there's another realm of praise that God just kind of kicks us up into. And we hear the sound, the turbo sound of tehillah. There's something that just begins to move. And we get worship services like that. And great worship leaders are ones that know how to come into the tehillah. They know how to praise God, but they also know how to step into that level where God shows up in a higher realm and everything just kind of goes up higher. And this word, the majesty, he chose our heritage for us. The majesty, it says the pride of Jacob, but I think the word majesty is better. The majesty of Jacob, whom he loves. There's something about majesty that when you're working in praise and working in God, something just kind of, God just shows up and things look glorious, sound glorious, work together. The harmonies kind of come. And like people who you thought couldn't sing, all of a sudden they're like singing better. People who have trouble memorizing scripture begin to quote scripture by verse. People who you don't think dance very well, wow, they're anointed. They're just doing this, but there's an anointing on it. I mean, I was watching. I mean, I love watching. We get this beautiful worship now you can watch on YouTube. And so here we are. I'm watching just this morning one of the songs that I feel like God's really using. We're going to do it because in a lot of language you can do it. But it's that my beloved is beautiful among thousands. Among thousands and thousands and thousands. So we sing that Yeshua song. And here's the worship leader singing. And all she's doing is waving her hand like this. Now, she's not a trained ballet singer. But the anointing was on that wave. I'm telling you, the presence of God was on that wave. And there was something about that wave was so beautiful and so anointed. I'm crying and weeping. Why? Why? It's because the anointing is on what you're doing. And I know as a performer, I know that when I'm singing and it ain't anointed, and I know when it is. And God can take an average, I mean, you're just doing the best you know how, you train and everything like that. But when the majesty of Jacob comes over you, then people are like dancing and it's like anointed. It's like you're going, what? This person, I remember one time I was at Elam, I had a praise team there. This girl, Lisa Veenstra, she was from Canada. She's a Dutch background, but she's there. The presence of God comes. Jack Sisler had spoken a message. You know Jack, some of you. And the presence of God came in that place, and we were on the ground crying. And then Lisa starts getting up and dancing in the spirit. I mean, it was so powerful. It was powerful. Why? Because the glory of Jacob was in the room. It was there. It wasn't just her dancing. It wasn't just any old dance. It wasn't something she learned in the ballet studio. It was an anointed dance. And the glory of God comes, and then someone sings, and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? You know, that's what you're thinking. Whoa. You know, where did this come from? And the harmonies click, and everything is like, whoa. And this is what we're talking about. The praise gifts bring the glory of God to the earth. And we need the glory of God on the earth. We don't need to see just, you know, just good preaching or talented people. We don't need to see just things that get it all together. Like, you know, I can call a pro and do professional lighting, and I can call all these people and say, if you got money, you can do anything you want, like a lot of people. But does it bring the glory of God? I mean, I've seen the glory of God where the piano was out of tune. Where the piano was an old messed up upright piano out of tune down in a basement somewhere, a little bit moist, and the glory of God comes. Well, I just want the glory of God. Yeah, I like it when it's nice. I like it to be in nice theaters. I like it in nice facilities. I like beautiful things. Everybody, who doesn't like that? But man, I want God's glory. I want it to come. I want the glory of Jacob. And Selah means you're having an encounter with something that's a major thing. Pay attention. This is important. This is a shift. It's time for you to encounter something that God has for you. God has gone up with a shout. God has ascended. This is the first thing that God does. God does. He brings glory. This is the first thing. God brings glory. And it says he goes up with a shout. With a shout, a ruach, and with the blast of a trumpet. The blast of a shofar. That word shout is the word blast that was used at first about the shofar blast, but then it became to be used with people blasting like trumpets. And there are times when someone will get up and shout, and it will be a trumpet blast. It will not be just them. It is them and God. Amen. As with praise, so with shouting. As with prayer, God goes up. He ascends in resurrection power and glory. 2 Samuel 6:15 says, David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord. They brought it from the house of Obed-Edom, and they said, it's time for you to come into your house. You've been in Obed-Edom's house long enough. It's time. We've got a house for you. We're going to bring it up to the temple where you need to be, the house of the Lord. Actually, Mount Zion, the temple wasn't built then. But it says, and the house of Israel brought it up with shouts and trumpet blasts, shofars. It's just like, it uses the same language as Psalm 68 and Ephesians 4:7. It says that when you ascended on high, you led captivity captive. So this verse right here has to do with ascension in victory, captives released, the devil captivated, and then we're given gifts. And last but not least, I want you to look at verse 6. Verse 6, Zamar. I think I've got time. If you give me time, one more point. The second thing that God does, the first thing is he brings glory, and the second thing, he brings wisdom. Praise gifts will bring you wisdom. He'll bring you wisdom. So there are five things that praise gifts are and two things that praise gifts will bring you. And the last thing I want to share with you is praise gift will bring you wisdom. The word for sing praises there is better understood, means to play the strings. It literally, samar means to play the strings. Strike the strings, play the guitar, play the harp. And it's used five times. Do you see how after the word Selah, this shift, this big shift in the scripture, the word samar comes on? Why? Because there's a shift that happens after you've walked in praise, after you've shouted, after you've clapped, after you've jumped, after you've blown the trumpet, after you've danced with all your might before the Lord. It says David danced with all his might when they brought the ark up. They did all these things, but then it says, strike the harp, strike the guitar, play the piano. They're all stringed instruments. There's something about striking the strings. There's a shift, and he says it five times. Five times the same word, samar, samar, samar. He says it twice, samar, samar. Sing praises to God, Elohim, right? Samar, Elohim, samar. Sahar Melech, praise, strike to the king. Samar, see how it's repeated again? See the poetry there, the force of the poetry? Then it says, for Elohim, for God, is the Melech. He is the Melech. He's the king of all the earth. Samar Mashiel. Samar with wisdom. Samar with wisdom. What's happening here is God is taking you from this faith place of praise to a place of deep fellowship and understanding. It's where you start to get stuff, where things start to come to you, where you begin to understand things that you didn't understand before, where you begin to find things in the Word of God that you never understood. Do you know that the harp, you know, there are two kinds of harps. One, remember our harp gal was here, 22-stringed harp. One string for each letter of the alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. And they have one string on the harp for each letter. Aleph all the way to the end, right? Or a 10-string harp. Either way, 10 commandments. I'll take either harp, right? Both are the word of God. So when they talk about playing the strings, they're talking about this intimate relationship with the Word of God, where it gets into you and you get this understanding that you didn't have before, where you're walking in this faith, you're walking in this confession, this is in your heart. But then there's something of this revelation that starts to come where you start putting things together. So let me just explain what that means. I'm going to use music to illustrate it. And I'm going to sit at the piano. Okay? Can we do that? Now, this is just a sound. Isn't that a beautiful melody? It's an old Scottish tune, whatever. 'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free. All right, it's a lovely piece. But it's a melody, one note at a time. And it has a beauty in and of itself, right? Think of that as one scripture verse that God puts on your heart. It's just beautiful in itself. It's beautiful just by itself, but it doesn't have to stay by itself. So think of a scripture verse and spending time with God, playing the strings, and just letting one scripture be beautiful to you. Can somebody say amen to that? Are you willing to do that? In your devotional time, are you willing to let one scripture just be beautiful to you? Let the beauty of the Word of God touch you with one scripture, but it doesn't stay that way. Because there's other aspects to music, other aspects of God's gifts that have to do with harmony. And that's how two notes or three notes or more work together. And how do you know that when you read one scripture and you get one scripture, then the other scriptures fit together with it and they both make it beautiful? You see what I'm saying? It's not just repeating what you're hearing. It's when you see another scripture, you see another aspect to it, and they go beautifully together. I'm going to try to fake this, okay? They work together to bring beauty to that melody. And it just makes it even better. It makes it even fuller. It's just like putting voices together. And then you've got rhythm. And rhythm is like the emotion of the music. Right? So I want you to think the rhythm is more like the feeling, the heart of beauty. Because some things that are beautiful just have a rhythm about it. Right? And you can move to a rhythm without any melody, without any harmony, but it just moves you. There's something about that rhythm that it moves your emotions. And the Word of God is like that too. When you strike that string, you can strike a string with a rhythm. You know, a piano is a very rhythmic instrument, and so is a guitar. Even if they just, like Ronnie could play that guitar, and he's just, you know, some people call it chicken, but you can damp the strings and just give us a really good rhythm on it. You hear what I'm saying? And there's something about that rhythm that fits, and it's beautiful. It's the zamar. It's the worship that comes after you've just poured out all this thanksgiving, after you poured out all this praise. This thing keeps going off. Hold on. Wake up. After you poured out all this praise, and you see this harmony together, this beauty, this samara, then all of a sudden you feel this emotion of the rhythm. Because even that melody, short, short, long, 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 fast, 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 long. See the rhythm? You've got this feel, this kind of a skipping feel, because you've got short, 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 long, short, short, short. It's like someone. That's why it's so beautiful like that. And God has the Word of God like that. The Word of God, if you play it, if you strum it, if you strum that scripture, and I really want two things to come out of the service is I want you to be renewed in your commitment to be a shouter, a praiser, a reckless lover of God, where you don't have to understand it, you don't have to feel it, you just know it because it is, because God has given you the gift that's greater than any gift you could ever have, any gift. And that many times you plow ahead into places that you don't understand. And that's okay, because it's not about you. It's about him. Amen. Amen. And then the second thing I want you to do is I want you to learn how to pluck the strings of the Word of God. You got to learn to play the harp yourself. You got to learn to pluck that string and let the Word of God give you that deep, that depth of understanding. Because there's nothing worse than hearing someone quote and use the scripture without the anointing, and they're religious and it sounds, ooh, and you're like, there's no beauty to it. And they're quoting the scripture and then you're just getting beat and nothing good happens out of it. I'm serious. They're just empty words. And we can't have that. We cannot have that here. I mean, it just happens. Why? Because you've got to take the time. You've got to take the time and pluck the strings. Five times it says here, praise. Praise him this way. Praise him this way. Praise him this way. Selah, pay attention to this divine connection that I'm bringing you. You've been praising, shouting, jumping, blowing the trumpet. But now pick up the harp and play the strings. Play the guitar. Let the scripture bring beautiful melody to you, and then learn to work it together and weave it in with other scriptures. And then don't just use the Bible as a thing to beat people with. It's not that way. There's a beauty about it. People are going, whoa, look at that. Whoa, where did that came from? That person? They just said something that just did something to me. It got me. Why? Because the beauty of the Lord sometimes comes like a sharp sword. But I want a sharp sword that's going to heal me, not kill me. Right? I mean, you put a scalpel in the hands of a doctor, you want him to be doing good, having a good day that day. You know? And that's what you want. So, amen. That's my heart for everybody today. And you know, I can give you a couple other scriptures, but you know what I was thinking of? It was an old song we used to sing, and it's Psalm Isaiah 35. It says, say to them and of a fearful heart, be strong, don't be afraid, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance and with a recompense. He will come to save you. This says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Look here, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. This is a wellspring in the desert, the religious desert of Martinsville, Virginia. Just because there's a lot of religious places, it could still be a desert in a lot of places. Why? You got to have the streams. And it says the tongue of the dumb. I love the old term for person that can't talk. They're called dumb. Why? Why? Because it's your tongue that makes you smart. Your words are the glory that covers your head. Your words are like beautiful hair that takes what's inside your mind, right? I mean, if I look at your head, I don't see your brain inside of you. That's your inner thought life. But I see your hair. I see your hair. And your words are like the glorious hair that you have. And it's what people see and experience. And when God loosens our tongue to sing, we're no longer stupid. We're no longer dumb. We're no longer incapable of expressing the beauty and the glory of God. And God has it. So I just feel like there's a commitment that we just need to be is, okay, I'm committed to being shout and praise and loud and trumpet blast, and I'm going to do that, but then I'm going to pluck some strings, folks. I am going to pluck some strings. Are you going to pluck some strings too? Are you going to take some time and, well, it may be 22 strings, you know, A through Aleph through whatever the word is, the last one, but 22 or 10, it doesn't matter. Pluck the strings. Find out the intimacy of the Lord. Find out the Selahs of God. Sing praises with wisdom. With wisdom. With glory. Amen. Amen. That's my commitment. Amen. You can stand in commitment. You can wave your hand. Do anything you want. But be committed to shouting unto God. Don't be silenced. I love that. It's one of the scriptures says, we will not be silenced. I'm going to praise God and not be silent. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Are we good? Amen.
Shoes are ready, take the shield of faith, put on the helmet that saves, and sweep the whole